This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I love hearing all of you in the sanctuary greeting one another and greeting the folks sitting around you. And it is my joy to greet you and welcome you into this time of worship. And if you're joining us online, we're especially glad to be connected over the internet this morning. I would like to take a moment to especially welcome those of you who are visiting with us. If you're here for the very first time, we hope that you have a chance to meet some of the friends sitting around you and that you feel welcomed in the Spirit of Christ moving among us as we worship today. Everyone is invited and encouraged to register your attendance. We have registration pads at the end of each row here in the sanctuary. If you'll sign those and pass them down the row, we have a link you can place in your browser if you're worshiping online to sign in. Or there's a QR code in the bulletin that you can scan, and it'll take you to the place to register and participate in worship in different ways digitally. If you're visiting with us and perhaps looking for a place to call your church home, please share an email address or a phone number or mailing address with us, and that will give us the opportunity to reach out to you, and we can begin a conversation about what God is doing in our midst here at West End. As we gather this morning, just a few announcements for us. If you are a college or a graduate student in one of our schools here in Nashville, you are invited to lunch. So if you're here at this service, we hope you'll come back at noon. The group gathers in the back of what we call the Narthex at noon and walk somewhere locally to go to lunch together. It's the church's treat, and it happens every week during the academic year. So if you can't go this Sunday, please plan on coming next Sunday. Our youth will begin their small groups tonight at 5 o'clock. They meet from 5 to 7 up in the youth area on the third floor. It's for 7th through 12th graders. Please bring $5 for dinner and be ready for some fun and fellowship. Our older elementary fellowship, also known as OEF, will also be gathering at church tonight from 5 to 7. This is for 4th, 5th, and 6th graders, and tonight the parents are also included and invited to be down in McWhorter Hall from 5 to 7. Apparently there are pool noodles involved. I will leave it at that. Finally, I want to highlight that our Fall Church Retreat is coming up at the end of September, and there's information in your bulletin about how to register. It's a wonderful time for a multi-generational gathering of our congregation in a very beautiful place. And I am sad that I will not be with you because this is my last Sunday in your midst for 12 weeks as I'm getting ready to take a brief season of renewal leave. And I'll be talking more about that in my sermon and hopefully not crying. But I'm going to miss you all. And I know that the Spirit of Christ is keeping us all connected and moving forward. And I'm grateful for this time with you this morning to consider what it means to practice Sabbath and to find our rest in Christ Himself. So let us join in this time of worship to find our rest, our peace, and our joy in Christ.
Oh, Please join me in the call to worship as printed in your bulletin. Come, all who are weary and carrying heavy loads.
Let us receive the grace of Jesus Christ.
Come, all who struggle to keep the pace in a busy world. Come, all who long for belonging and abiding rest.
May the Spirit fill us with God's love and peace.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Gentle God, your humility and meekness guide us into the life that is truly life. Yet in our striving to get it all done, we find ourselves burnt out and disconnected from the people we love and the means of grace. Forgive us for the oppressive burdens we expect of ourselves, we put on each other, and we force on your creation. By your Spirit, mark our steps to keep pace with Jesus as he leads us into the liberation of your Sabbath rest. And now, O God, we offer our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and peace. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Dan and Madeline Frankamont bring their son before God and before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Dan and Madeline, I ask you now, on behalf of the whole church, these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say we do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say we do.
We do.
And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say we will. And now, my friends in the congregation, we make our promises and renew our commitments. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, your Spirit swept across dark waters and brought forth glorious light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow as a seal of your promise. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you had promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and he who will receive it, to wash away sin and to clothe him in righteousness throughout all his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he might share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Holy Spirit, who lives and reigns with you, one God forever and ever.
Thank you. Okay. Come see me. Hi. And what name have you given your son?
Lowell William.
I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who will live within you and be your friend and your advocate and your companion all the days of your life. Yeah. Okay, Lowell William, let's go a little closer to Mommy and Daddy. Oh, you can just do that all you want. Yeah. We're going to lay our hands on you and pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Lowell William, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Okay. You want to go take a little walk? I know. We have to walk away from Mommy and Daddy, but we're walking toward these beautiful people, and they're all smiling at you, I bet. This, Lowell William, is... Okay, your turn this way. I'm going to go this way. I'm going to back walk so they can see your beautiful face. These are people who already love you, and they're going to do everything they can to help you learn about God's love for you and to help you know what it means to follow Jesus. Yes. Some of them will teach you Sunday school. Some will be vacation Bible school volunteers. Maybe one of them will be your confirmation mentor. Which one's it going to be? I don't know. We'll find out in about 12 years. So we're going to listen as they rise in body or in spirit and make their promises to be your family of God.
As you rise in body or in spirit, I invite you to open your bulletins to the commendation and welcome and face Lowell William. Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend to you, Lowell William, to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Lowell William, and we welcome you in Christian love.
As members together with you in the body of Christ
and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28 through chapter 12, verse 8. If you would like to read along, please turn to page 792 in your pew Bible. Come to me, all you are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." And he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? How he entered the house of God, and they ate the bread of the presence, which was not lawful for him or his companions to eat, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and yet are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It's time to be with the children. So if you're in the sanctuary and you want to come forward, come and join us up here. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens, because this time is for you, the children, and for me. Come on down. Good morning. So glad to see everybody. Here, let me get this out of the way, so we'll have a little more room on there. There we go. Come on down. Oh, I'm so glad to see all of you. I hope you've been enjoying this warmer weather we're having. Hope you get lots of popsicles and lemonade. All right. Mr. Rob just read a story for us about Jesus walking through a grain field with his disciples. Jesus was pretty busy. He was walking through Galilee, and he was teaching, and he was preaching, and he was healing people, and he was meeting with people to talk about God and what it looks like to follow God. And he did so many things for so many people. But you know, there's something else that Jesus did really regularly. He would take time by himself, and sometimes he would go up to a mountain, or sometimes he would go away in the middle of the night and find a place where he could go and pray, and he could listen to God. He called God his Father sometimes, and he could be with his Father and listen to God and pray and rest and just be reminded of how much God loved him. And that's what we're called to do too. We follow Jesus, right? And we want to live the kind of life that he wants us to live, the kind of life that he lived. So we're going to do everything we can to help other people and to do good in the world. There are all sorts of ways that you help people already. But we're also going to take time to pray and to rest. So when you go to bed at night, do you say prayers at night? Yeah, a lot of you do. That's a wonderful time to just close your eyes and thank God for the day and spend time with God. Maybe you say a prayer before a meal. You can say a prayer any time of day you want. And Jesus reminds us that we always need to be praying and also doing things for other people. Let's pray together now. Gracious God, we thank you so much for our church, this place we can come to love each other and be loved and to learn about Jesus and to learn about following him. We thank you for the many ways that we can help other people, and we thank you for the gift of being able to pray and talk to you anytime we want to. So help us to be people who do and people who pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, 3-, 4-, 5-year-olds and kindergartners can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Shannon. Okay, have a good time today. And you all, others can go back and sit with parents or friends. Well, as you know by now, I'm getting ready to take 12 weeks of renewal leave. And this is my last Sunday with you for a while. And I've been focusing for the last few months, on getting everything organized and planned. And Will and Shannon and the whole staff have been working together to get the plan so we know who's doing what and who to go to. And it's been wonderful to get that work in place. But now I'm starting to feel the feels. I came in here early this morning to just sort of walk around the sanctuary and get my heart in the right place for worship, and I really started to realize and recognize how much I'm going to miss you all. The time will go fast. It's 12 weeks. I'll be back on December 1st, and our paths will diverge for a while, and then we'll be back December 1st, and it'll just go like that, I know, but I will miss you. And I'm anxious to hear and to know all of the things that God does in and through you in these 12 weeks that we're apart. And I had been thinking about, and we've been walking through, this 3-week sermon series on Sabbath as a time to not only prepare myself for taking this holy time to set down my work and to immerse myself in rest and prayer and the love of God, but also as an opportunity to invite all of us to consider this pattern of life that God has set before us since the beginning of time, and to invite all of us to be finding ways in our own lives and our own routines to work and to rest, to make sure we're carving out time to be with God, and to let God tell us who we are more than our work or the world tells us who we are. So as a little review, in case you haven't been with us the past few weeks, or if this is your first Sunday, a couple weeks ago we looked at the first chapter of Genesis, that story of creation, where God takes one day out of 7 and claims it for rest, as a time to enjoy creation, to stop working and stop producing, and sit back and be grateful for what is, to enjoy God and to enjoy one another and creation. Then last week, we heard a story about a time in the history of the Hebrew people when they were not allowed to practice Sabbath, when they were enslaved in Egypt and the Pharaoh made them work and work and work and work and never gave them rest and only saw them as workers. And we considered together what those voices of Pharaoh look like in our day, those internal voices or those external voices and systems that try to tell us we cannot stop, that we are only worth what we do and what we accomplish. And so we looked at the Sabbath practice as a way of resisting those voices that are not of God. And so this morning, I want to turn to Jesus. I want us to turn the page and enter into the New Testament and consider what Jesus has to show us and to teach us about Sabbath. I don't know about you, but over these past few years, with all that we've been through and all the tumult around us for all the different reasons, I have found myself more and more drawn to the person of Jesus and looking to him again and again for comfort and rest and guidance. And he's the one who shows us the way of life. So what does Jesus have to say about Sabbath? What does he do with the Sabbath? Well, how to honor the Sabbath was one of those things that was talked about a lot among Jewish leaders and teachers and Jewish people in the first century. The Torah, the fourth commandment, as we looked at a couple of weeks ago, says, you know, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. You shall do no work on the Sabbath day. And there are other places in the Hebrew Scriptures that flesh that out a little bit, but not a whole lot. And so there was a lot of conversation in first century Judaism about, well, what is work and what isn't? What can and can't we do on the Sabbath day? And so I want to be clear that in that conversation, there would have been some Pharisees and some rabbis who were more like Jesus in their approach to the Sabbath. But in this episode in Matthew's gospel, and in many stories of the gospels, we're seeing those who took the hard-nosed approach, who were more legalistic about it, who were more focused on a checklist of do's and don'ts, rules, legalism. And that's who we're seeing in this text. But I don't want us to see these Pharisees and assume that's how all the Pharisees were or how all the Jewish leaders were. So what's happening in this story? Jesus and his disciples have been traveling through Galilee, doing ministry. They're walking through a field of grain. It's the Sabbath day, and the disciples are hungry. Their bellies are empty. And so they take a few grains from the field and begin to eat them. Now, these Pharisees in the story see that, and that is a violation of the rules, because in their minds, that is work. You're not supposed to harvest anything on the Sabbath day. And so they confront Jesus with that and say, don't you see your disciples have broken the Sabbath law? And Jesus, in his brilliance and grace, responds to them from their shared tradition, from their own scriptures, from their own stories. And he reminds them of this story that takes place in 1 Samuel when David, before he became King David, he, of course, was the greatest hero in Israel's history. They all would have agreed on that. When David broke the rules, he went into a house of worship and he asked the priest, by telling him sort of a not really true thing, that he and his soldiers needed to eat the bread that was on the altar, that was the bread of the presence. The presence of the Lord in this house of worship. Only the priest could eat that bread. And it was only done once a week. Those were the rules. But David and his soldiers ate that bread. They broke the rule. And if King David could break the rule, Jesus, who is the Son of God, is greater than David. But these Pharisees don't see that. And he tries to say, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. This reminder of what he says in other places, that the Sabbath was not made for humankind to live up to this checklist of do's and don'ts. The Sabbath was made as a gift to humankind. It is for our flourishing, our life, our well-being, our wholeness, our relationship with God and with one another. But you have turned it into a burden, a checklist, a heavy load that nobody can live up to. Now, the story goes on. We didn't include this in the worship service, but I want to tack it on this morning because Jesus then goes from the field of grain into the synagogue. And there's a man with a withered hand. Now, we actually heard this story in Mark's gospel earlier this summer. And the Pharisees set Jesus up right away. Is it right to heal on the Sabbath day? They're trying to trick him. They want to trap him because in their minds, it's not okay to do that work on the Sabbath day. Now, to be sure, these Pharisees and Jesus and all of them would agree if someone's life was in danger, yes, you absolutely do what you have to do to save a life. But a withered hand is not a life-threatening injury. You can wait till the sun goes down on the Sabbath to help this man. And they want to see what Jesus does. And Jesus says to them, if you had a sheep that fell into a pit on the Sabbath day, would you not rescue it? Would you leave that sheep alone in fear and anxiety all night long just because it was the Sabbath day? And yet here is a human being. And Jesus refuses to make that man wait and endure that indignity of standing around in his pain waiting for the sun to go down on the Sabbath day. No, in broad daylight on the Sabbath day in the middle of the synagogue, Jesus reaches out and gives the man new life and healing. What is the difference between these Pharisees and Jesus? It seems that Jesus is claiming that life with God is not about following a set of rules. It's not about bearing a heavy burden of boxes to be checked that we have to live just right this way for God to believe we're worthy. It's a heavy burden that no one can bear. No, Jesus seems to be saying, life with God is about flourishing and grace, about relationship. And he is offering himself as the one through whom that relationship can be lived and experienced. And so I wonder, do we still hear the voices of those Pharisees in our lives today? I know I do. They're in my head all the time. And I think they're in our faith culture as well. An example from my own life. About 10 years ago, it was the season of Lent, and as many of you know, many of you do, during the season of Lent leading up to Easter, there's a practice to give up something or to take on a spiritual discipline as a way of preparing for the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. You give up chocolate or you give up soda or you take on an extra prayer practice or whatever it might be. So 10 years ago, I decided I'm going to fast on Wednesdays. This was the early Methodists did this. John Wesley did it. Therefore, I must do it. And so I tried it, and it was terrible. The first couple of Wednesdays, I was so cranky and irritable and hangry by early afternoon that I was not myself. And we had this staff meeting one Wednesday afternoon, and I was just about to go running and screaming out in the street. And I didn't lead well. So the next week, by chance, I had an appointment with my spiritual director, and I was telling him about that experience, and he leaned forward and said, you know, Carol, maybe fasting isn't the spiritual discipline for you. I mean, I do have low blood pressure, and I can get sort of fainty. And he just sort of gave me permission. God is not disappointed in you if you lay this one down. There are other things you can do to make space and give attention to God's work in your life during Lent besides making yourself and everybody else miserable because you're trying to fast. Because that's what the early Methodists did. And what would John Wesley say? To let go of that rule book, that check, that box to check, that heavy load and burden. I've seen this lived out in much more painful ways in other people's lives. I'll never forget that day when she came into my office. She'd been worshiping at the church I was serving for a little while. And she'd really found a community of belonging, and her faith was growing, and she was even thinking about going to divinity school at Vanderbilt, but she had this heavy load of baggage she was still carrying that she could not put down, and she needed to talk about it. She'd been through a divorce a few years earlier. And at the time, she and her family were part of a congregation that did not look kindly or with compassion on people who are divorced. And in fact, when she shared that that's the path she was taking, that her husband was abusive emotionally and physically, and that she was scared for her own safety and for that of her children. She was told she had to appear before a board of elders in the church, all of them men, and justify herself and get their approval. And they didn't give it to her. And it was a traumatic and painful experience, and she still had that wound that continued to hurt. And she wanted to lay it down. She knew in her head that God was a God of grace, that there was forgiveness and healing and renewal. And yet she still had this fear within her that maybe somehow God is disappointed in me, and I've sinned in a way that is unforgivable. And so we did some of that work together. And she continued to do that work with people more qualified than I. But to remember that God is a God of life and human flourishing and grace. And this is the path that Jesus seems to be offering us in this text today. It's not black and white. It is a relationship. It doesn't mean that following Jesus is easy. And it doesn't mean that anything goes. It does mean that we are led in life by a relationship with Jesus Christ, who shows us the way. And the incredible twist in this text, this beautiful moment that I almost skipped over, came right at the beginning. When Jesus is not only showing how to keep the Sabbath, he is telling us that he, in fact, is the Sabbath. He is the embodiment of God's rest. Come to me, he says. Come to me, all who are weary and carrying these heavy burdens of not being good enough, not doing enough, not being worthy, not living up to God's expectations, all these things that we and others lay upon us. Come to me. And lay it down, Jesus says, and I will give you rest. And you will find rest for your souls. Learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So, my friends, the invitation that I'm feeling right now in my life is to go and walk with Jesus in a more attentive and open way than I have in a long time. And the invitation is for you to walk with Jesus, to talk with Jesus, to find your rest in him. And for a while, our paths will diverge, but then they'll come back together on December 1st. And I can't wait to hear what you've learned from him. And I can't wait to tell you and show you what I have learned. And I can't wait to see where our shared journey takes us as we continue to follow in his footsteps.
From the soft and tender embrace of Jesus, I invite you to rise in body or in spirit and to follow along with me in reciting the affirmation of our faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, and life and death and life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, may you be reminded that God hears all of our prayers, whether we speak them aloud or we whisper them silently. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team, that we could be praying with you throughout the week, and especially that we might be praying with you tomorrow afternoon, we invite you to follow the link under Contact Us on our website or to fill out the prayer card. You can put those prayer cards in the offering basket at the appropriate time of our offering. Also want to remind you to take note of the prayer concerns that are listed in your bulletins, that together as a congregation, we might be praying with and for each other, and in particular, to lift up one family within our church who is mourning. Together, we mourn with Caroline, Chris, Mary, and Ella Peacock as they mourn the death of Caroline's mother, Beth Rose. Beth passed away on August 17th, and services were held at the Cookville Chapel of Hooper Huddleston and Horner Funeral Home yesterday on Saturday, August 24th. As together we pray, I invite you to respond to my petition, the Lord be, Lord in your mercy, with a response, hear our prayer, as together we pray with the saints of God. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving God, in the strength of your Spirit, lead us to receive Jesus' invitation to life with him, to receive with thanksgiving his person. May his promises of rest transform us, that what can be a daily grind might become an experience of your daily grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, grant us wisdom to discern when you are calling us to engage in work and to pursue in holy responsibilities to our family, our neighbors, and our community. And also, God, gift us with the conviction and the clarity when you call us to lay aside even the urgent things, that we might enjoy you and enjoy each other and delight in your rest. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, lead us to recognize and to become more fully aware of our neighbors who work endless hours and cannot afford to experience either leisure or rest. May your church embody Christ's promised presence with and for them. May we offer relief from their labor. May we offer comfort for mind, body, and spirit. Within our homes and our offices and in this church, inspire and guide us in creating a culture of renewal and restoration for your beloved children and your creation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All of this we ask through Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath and the crown of our joy, who is teaching us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to the God who is always providing more than we could ever possibly ask or imagine. Those of you who are joining online are invited to give via the options which are listed on your screen. While here in the sanctuary, we will pass the offering plates as our means of giving. You may also use the QR code, which is printed in your bulletin, and it will direct you to the appropriate space on our website. Might we experience the joy of God's abundance through the giving of our gifts this day. invite you to be seated, and I'm going to invite our chair of SPRC, Ms. Elizabeth Cambron, to come forward with me. Carol, before you kneel, I just want to say one thing, and that is that 2 years ago, my family was on sabbatical, and we met you for the first time in the back of this sanctuary, and your joy in our rest and renewal stayed with us. And beyond that, I would have never imagined that day that we would be here together. And yet, what I have seen over the course of my year in ministry with you is how deeply you value creating places of rest and renewal for all of your team and also for this congregation. What you preached is a way of life that you live. And today, your congregation is delightful, and we are going to radiate that same joy to you that you gifted me with 2 years ago. Even though we are going to miss you tremendously, and there is no one who could ever replace you or step in for 3 months, we know that your absence will flood this place with Christ's presence, and we can't wait to hear how God teaches you and what you learn in walking in the gentle way of Jesus. I truly mean it. I'm going to invite you to kneel, and in her delightful wisdom, Elizabeth said, you know, it might not be the best idea to have 275 people rush up here to lay hands on Pastor Carol. So I am going to invite you to extend your hands here in a moment when I pray. And if God compels you to come forward and to lay hands on Carol, and I wake up, or open my eyes, and there are other folks up here, I'm not going to tell Jesus, okay? You're not going to get in trouble. But for those of you who wish to engage from your seats, I invite you to extend your hands as we pray over our beloved pastor. Gracious God, we give you great thanks for your servant and your beloved child, Carol. We thank you, God, for her ministry in this city. We thank you, God, for the countless ways she has loved us, how she has been present with us in times of grief, and also times in God, in times of just joy, overflowing joy. We thank you, God, for her gift and her ministry with us. We pray, God, that in this season that has been commissioned for rest and renewal, that Carol will experience your delight in profound ways. We ask that you would inspire her imagination, that you would restore and enliven her heart, that you would take her body on adventures that might leave her tired but fulfilled. We especially pray for her time with David and with Levi and with Tate. We ask, God, that this family would experience an abundance of your love, and that, God, the love we have experienced from this family, that it would be multiplied and being poured out over them. Most of all, God, we pray that Carol would be invited into countless spaces where she can simply be, where she can rest in being your beloved daughter. We look forward to seeing the ways that Carol is transfigured into Christ after this three-month departure from us. And all of these things, God, we look forward to the way the diversion of our paths will lead us more fully into life with your Son, Jesus. All of us we ask in his name. Amen. Yeah, of course. Grace and peace to you.
words are failing me. I do want to say that I am grateful for this opportunity, that I love you all, and that I know as we go forth, if we continue to walk with Jesus, there is no telling where God will take us. So let us work and rest. Let us spend time together and alone. And let us place our trust completely in the Christ who shows us the way. And we will know peace. And we will know belonging. And we will know love. And we will know rest. And we will know joy. Amen.